Alrighty, we'll be started this morning in St. John. We're going to be teaching out of the Gospel of St. John. I love the book of St. John. It's like the disciple John.
Yeah.
He was noted as that disciple whom the Lord loved. He had a different relationship with Jesus than all the other disciples. He pictures the church in so many ways. The Lord even spoke on behalf of John when he said, "If I will that he tarries till I come, what's that to thee?" Talking to Peter, and Peter said, "What about this disciple, Lord?" And the Lord advocated right there at the end of the book of John. I don't really want to start at the end, but I do want to say this. Peter, seeing John, said to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" And that's a legitimate question. And the Lord gave a legitimate answer in St. John 21:22. He said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." The church is going to tarry till Jesus comes. John pictures the church in so many ways. His gospel is so unique compared to the other three. It's truly in a category all of its own. Anytime anyone ever gets saved, I always tell them, read the Gospel of St. John. It'll lay a good foundation to build upon. It's almost like a mini Bible by itself. It appears to like start in Genesis and end with a resurrected Savior giving orders or giving directions to the disciples there of what to do as he's heading to heaven. But I love the Gospel of St. John. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's kind of hard to pick a favorite. There's so many good ones. But it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I've read the Gospel of St. John, I'm going to say in the category of probably 50 times or more. Every time I read it, it just seems like there's another nugget that comes out. But we're going to start St. John chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll ask God's blessing. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that not only, Lord, that it is precious, but Lord, that you provided and you preserved it, and we have it. We're thankful for it. Open your words to us here today. Lord, open our eyes to the great treasures that it holds. Lord, open our minds, Lord, to the great truths that it tells. Open our hearts, I pray, Lord, to the great love that it bestows. Lord, to those that would, have that love, it's offered. It's not made. No one has to be saved. No one's made to be saved. No one's grabbed by the arm and drugged like you did Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lord, your message is a message of love. And how true that message of love is manifested in this book. In Jesus' name we ask your blessings. Amen. Amen. Alright, St. John chapter 1. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Someone says, you know, the Bible was translated in 1611. And it was.
Yes.
And I like the King James Bible, 1611, King James Version. And here's why I like it. There's only two Bibles that can make this boast. Only two. I'll mention the other one here in a minute. But the King James Bible has zero additions, zero omissions. It's what thus saith the Word of God in English. And when I say that, a lot of people want to go further. And let me just say this. I'm getting off at heaven, and that's as far as I need to go. This book will get you there.
That's right.
The other book, which was also used in the translation of the King James Bible, and it's the Greek Textus Receptus. Both of those have zero omissions, zero additions. They're only Greek, and in this case, King James Bible, Greek and Hebrew and English. It wouldn't do me no good to study Greek and Hebrew. I already have it translated into English. If I went and studied the Hebrew, I'd say, well, I sure going to save myself a lot of time. Someone's done it. The translators of the King James Bible, their own confession, when King James really commissioned them to translate the Bible into English, they said, "We be miserable instruments for God to use, but we will undertake this endeavor with prayer and fasting and in great consideration for the Scriptures." They were just humble servants. They were not high and mighty men. They yielded themselves to the king's command. They yielded themselves to the will of God. And that's how we end up with a Bible as we have today. I put these pants on and somehow or another it don't have a handkerchief in the back. Most of mine do because I wear them. I just leave a handkerchief in there. But yeah. We'll start right here at King James 1611 version. And I got to speak on behalf of the King James Bible down in Tennessee yesterday. And I got a blessing. And the people I was talking with got a blessing. They asked me where I pastored at, and I said, Kentucky. And they said, "We wish you was here." I said, "I can't be here and that. I need to be there." So I praise God. And that was a blessing to be able to share the Word of God. Well, now how that happened? Well, I went up there to pay for the stuff I had. She said, "That'd be $3.16." I said, "Praise God."
Yeah.
I said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." She said, "Boy, I love to hear people quote the Bible." Mm-hmm. And that just gave me an opportunity to do that. I quoted some more. And she wanted some more. And finally, we cleared the whole store out. Wasn't nobody heard me and her. And anyway, let's get started in our lesson here. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word," notice, capitalized.
Yeah.
"And the Word," capitalized, "was with God," capitalized, "and the Word was God." That one verse says so much about this Word, about the deity of God. The Bible talks about, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me."
Yeah.
From cover to cover, this book is about God, God's love, God's Word, God's will. Our part in this is mentioned. His part in this is mentioned. The will of God in this is mentioned. And it all pertains to the Word of God.
Yeah.
God said what He meant. God meant what He said. He settled it in the heavens. He commanded to 1,000 generations. He put it in the mind of man. He put it in the hand of man. It was inspired of God. And of course, God used the pen of man to pen it. Yeah. But He told them what to write. "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost," Peter said. And Paul told Timothy that the Word of God was inspired in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness." If we just get these instructions out every now and then, it'd help us out a bunch.
Amen.
But Paul here, and he learned this firsthand. He thought he was a know-it-all until he ran into God Himself, and then He threw all that He knew away for this. And He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." Some people say, "Well, I just don't really care about doctrine." I'll tell you what, you can miss heaven if you don't care about doctrine. "For reproof," because Jesus said, "For commandment they teach the doctrines of men." The doctrines of men won't get you to heaven.
Right.
The doctrine of God is the truth, and there's no lie in the doctrine of God. But He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," I'm in 2 Timothy 3:16, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect." And notice this next words, "not thoroughly, thoroughly." That's very unique. I was in college, and I asked my English teacher about this word. She said, "I never noticed that before." She couldn't even give me an answer about it. But my answer is, it'll get you through. It's about all can get you through.
Yeah.
So you're thoroughly furnished. You've got everything you need. It'll get you through. You know, the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it'll get you through. He said, "I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." It's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Peter, might as well go ahead and read that real quick before we ever even get started here. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One more place, then we'll get our lesson. Psalm 68. Somebody say, where did this thing come from? Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. It proceeded from God. It proceeded to man. And then man published it and printed it. And I have it. It's the preserved word of God. Now let's get on with our lesson here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. A lot of people just can't see Jesus as being God. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, grace, the mystery of God. He didn't even understand it himself. I mean, he said, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, he met God face to face, and he commented upon that. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he said, we persuade men. He himself was persuaded also. But he talks about godliness, and he said it's a great mystery. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. It's a mystery. It's not like you can just, I got it, I figured it all out. You got to take it by faith.
Amen.
You got to believe it. Even though it might be some things hard to believe, Peter commenting about some of Paul's writing, he said those that are unlearned might as well just get the whole thing in here, I guess. Peter talked about Paul. He said, even as our 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. A lot of people won't take by faith the Word of God.
No.
A lot of people think they've conquered this Bible. I feel sorry for them. A lot of people don't realize how to rightly divide it. They make a terrible mess of trying to interpret or read or teach this Bible. I think Paul's the writer of Hebrews. I certainly wouldn't debate that. But if Paul is the writer of Hebrews, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, it's not mentioned who did, mentions in Hebrews chapter 5, and the writing even kind of identifies with some of the epistles of Paul. He says in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, kind of like he's talking to the church of Corinth,
right.
Said I couldn't speak to you as men, but babes in Christ. He said, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now all of that pertains to this verse number one. Verse number one, if we can't understand this is God's Word, if we can't understand that God is God, we really don't need to go any further.
All right.
But verse 2 tells us the same was in the beginning with God. When God said, let us make man in our image, that tells me there's more than one. Let us make man in our image. Right. And man was made in the image of God, may he him. So you want to know what God looks like? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen God.
Amen.
I and my Father are one. Just a lot of this stuff, simple and yet hard. People strain nets, swallow a camel when it comes to some of this stuff. But the same was in the beginning with God. This Word and God are one and the same. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. Mm-hmm. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now the harmony of the Scriptures, you go all through this Bible, talks about Jesus Christ being the Creator.
Yeah.
That He made everything that was made. You go to the book of Colossians, you can go on Revelations, you can go Timothy, God who made all things, cannot lie. You just, all through this Bible, the harmony of the Bible is, it all points like a compass to Him. And all things were made by Him.
Right.
And without Him was not anything made that was made. If you miss these first three verses, you're missing it all. It's about Him. He did it. He made it. He died. I was corresponding this morning on the internet, and of course you got gainsayers and scoffers and pain in the butts, but somebody posted on there about that flood down in North and South Carolina, down in Virginia, and if God's such a loving God, why would He allow such a thing to happen?
Yeah.
And of course, being a preacher, I was provoked to put some kind of an answer. And I said, God allowed His Son, His only begotten Son, to be crucified on a Roman cross, to be spit upon, to be beaten beyond recognition, to be life dead, scorned, shamed, all for one purpose, that sinners like you and me could be pardoned. I said, God offers you pardon.
Yes.
I said, don't neglect it. There's no escape. You better take it. And you know, you can't reason with people like that, but I can't ignore it neither. There may be someone read that post, and there may be someone say, you know what, that's right. And we're to do that. We're supposed to reason with people. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be somewhat of a witness. But anyway, all things were made by Him. This is clear as a bell. If you can accept the fact that the Word is God, that God is God, that all things were made by Him without Him was not anything made that was made, you can receive the rest of this. We're going to go ahead and go. Verse 4, talking about Jesus again. In Him was life. Somebody said, well, I just don't want to live for God. I'm my own man. I feel like I'm smart enough, or I'm strong enough, or I'm young enough, or whatever. And they don't even realize that in Him we live and move and have our being. Now, one of these guys on that same post was somewhat of a scientist, and he wanted to put in some kind of terms that he could understand because he's so smart. And I said, where did gravity come from? It was crickets on the other end.
Yeah.
And I said, let me ask you this. Who hung the sun up there? Not too far away where we freeze. Not too close where we burn up. I said, who put that up there? Who lit it? Why is it there? Again, crickets. And I said, take a deep breath. Where'd that come from? And some people, they just, the obvious they missed. And in Him we live. Good to have Sharon here this morning. I was praying for her this morning. And I'm thankful for her. But was it your granddaughter that you hadn't heard from? Is that right? And I was praying that God would intervene in that. That's all we got to see. We got that privilege of prayer. We need to exercise it. Jesus told us to pray, not faint. So I'm praying for that granddaughter. I'm hoping you'll say, Brother Eugene, believe I got a phone call.
I'm
praying.
Yeah, me too.
They got run you. and have them lead. But they can't have run their
That's
prayer.
Right.
That's right.
I guarantee you that.
That's right.
All right, we're in a Sunday school lesson. I feel about half ready to preach right now.
Amen. Go
around it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I was in darkness. I'm in St. John chapter 1. I'm in verse 4. I was in darkness. I didn't have the light. But I needed the light. In Him is that light.
Amen.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
That's right.
Now here's our dilemma. Verse 5. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Most people that are lost can't understand they're lost.
No.
That's right.
They need someone to help them. That Ethiopian eunuch, he bid Philip, come up into my chariot, help me. I don't know who this is talking about. I don't know what I need to do. He began that same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He said, behold, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Again, he's asking for help. And Philip, if you got the right Bible, said, if thou believest with thy heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's good enough for me.
Amen.
I mean, any Baptist preacher take that. And he stopped the chariot, went down and baptized him. But darkness can't comprehend light. The Bible talks about men loving darkness rather than light. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that's mentioned in St. John chapter 3, and it's true. There's people today, instead of being in church today, even with it raining outside, they'll be fishing, they'll be golfing, they'll be riding their motorcycle, they'll be mowing the yard, they'll be painting the house, they'll be doing anything but heading to the house of God.
Amen. That's right.
They don't understand. I can somewhat sympathize with them because I used to be one.
Yeah.
The psalmist said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. See, I didn't know till I went in.
Right.
And that's, we got to be not so critical, because that's where we used to dwell, and now we're in light, now we're children of light, now we try to tell everyone about the light, and everybody don't really want to hear it, but they need to hear it, so don't
right.
give up.
Right.
But it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now it kind of jumps. The first five verses are almost like the first part of the Bible there. Talks about the deity of Christ. And these next verses here, it talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He's the forerunner of God. He's mentioned in Isaiah. I'm pretty sure it's Isaiah chapter 40. There's so much territory in here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's a reference to John the Baptist. And here it talks about the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was a forerunner. John was the one that pointed to Jesus and said, it's not me, it's him. And you know, the world may not have understood it, but John the Baptist understood his ministry, and Jesus Christ understood his message. And I'm saved now, I understand it too, but we didn't always understand that ourselves.
No.
But verse 8 said, talking again about John the Baptist, he was not that light. Now he looked like that light. I mean, he come out of the wilderness, and he was quite a sight. Bible talked about him having his loins girt about with a leather girdle, and his food was honey and locusts, and I guess he probably had a beard and probably looked like a prophet, like they did Charlton Heston in the book Moses. He probably looked kind of like that. I don't know what he looked like. I know what his message was. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand.
Yep.
And a lot of people did repent And he baptized a lot of them, but he was not that light. And it might have seemed like he was. Matter of fact, they even asked him if he was that light, and he said no. And he said, he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. I'm not worthy to unloosen the shoe latchet of his shoe. And my wife bought me a pair of shoes this week, and they ain't got no shoe latchet on them. She found some shoes down there in Bowling Green. I can get off of this. I thank God for my wife. She found me some sketches. They're going to slip on. She said, do you want them? I said, absolutely, honey. I might not be smart, but I ain't stupid. But anyway, John here confessed that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light.
Right.
He's the one that pointed. That's him. That's him. Verse 9, which jumps from John the Baptist to Jesus Christ being that true light. If you got a Scofield Bible, I'm just using the heading over top of verse number 9. I use the heading over top of verse 6 and the heading over top of verse number 3 there. But that verse 9 says, talking about Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, which corresponds to verse 4. He was in the world. This is real good. I like this verse. Talking about Jesus was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He was an alien. Now, I talk to a lot of people on the internet by way of corresponding back and forth. And some of these, they're too smart for their own good. If they were more stupid, they could probably receive truth easier. But they can't receive it. It's got to be some big thing. The simplicity of it just gets the best of them. But I commented to this one. I said, do you believe in aliens? Well, yeah. I said, good. Jesus was an alien. He said, I'm from above. You're from beneath. I said, he came down. He'll send it back up. And you know what? That man could receive that. That fit the mold of his mind. He thought, you know, I've been believing in aliens, and Jesus was an alien. He looked at Jesus like he never looked at him before.
Yeah.
That really prevailed a little bit with him. But he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, a very key verse. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His whole purpose of coming down here was to come to the Hebrews, to the Jews, to the seed of Abraham. And they didn't receive him. But the good thing is, that opened the door for us to have access.
Right.
The Bible talks about to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Verse 12 brings us right in. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. I got asked one time to go to a nursing home to see a man that was dying. I didn't really want to go. I'd been to this man 100 times or more, and he had never been open to the gospel. I would go in and talk to him, and he just acted like I wasn't there. He just turned over and looked at the wall. He wouldn't even acknowledge that I was even there. And they called me. They said, Eddie, would you go one more time, please? And I'm a servant. I have no choice. So I went. And I ain't kidding. I hope I had to walk to his room backwards. My feet didn't even want to go down there. But I got in his room, and his hand was completely black. And he had took a toll for the worse. I could tell he wasn't going to be around. Matter of fact, he didn't live very much longer than that day. But I came into that room, and he stuck that black hand out to me. And he said, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you came. And I said, are you ready to be saved? He said, yes, I am. And I quoted that verse. I said, are you ready to do what the Bible says? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He said, yes, I am. And I said, if you by faith can receive him, he can save you and you can be saved. And he said, I'm ready. I prayed with him. He did get saved. Lit the whole room up. The nurse was happy. I was happy. The devil was mad.
Yeah.
But everybody else was. I mean, it was really good. show you something here real quick. May have to drag all this out. Things I look back on and courage when you get down and out, you look back and say, praise God, I've got some worth. I got some places, you know, where I didn't fail, and that was one where I was able to prevail against all the devil had put in that situation there. But as many as received him, that's the goal. See, the objective of life ought to be run to him. Get saved and then go enjoy the days that God has given you. What do? That's last on the list. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I was sitting there with my grandfather come to me at the age of 18 years old. Me sitting there in my backyard, my field, my shirt off with a fast blue ribbon bottle in my hand. I seen him coming. I put that bottle behind my back. He came up with me, tear dripping off his cheeks. Horsefly, I'm praying for you. I sure wish you get saved. And in my mind, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, but not at 18. I wanted to live my life. I wanted to do my thing. That's a very selfish thought, but I had it.
Yeah.
And I guess everybody has that thought at some time. But as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them, talking about those that will receive Jesus, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's not excluding you, Sharon. There's neither male nor female in Christ, but we're sons and daughters to God through Christ.
Amen.
Now, verse 13 explains what it means to be saved. So note this, look. Jesus said, marvel not, I say, and you must be born again. So listen, verse 13, which were born. There's a birth to being saved. Mm-hmm. Now, if you really want to get the true meaning of this verse, let's just leave the middle out real quick here for just a minute. Verse 13, which were born of God. The first part of it and the last part of it. That way you get the meaning of what this is really saying, because
right.
You kind of get lost in this if you ain't paying attention. Which were born not of blood. I had a blood, fleshly birth. I was born to the family of Bobby and Dolores Wade, February the 20th, 1954. I was born of the Spirit of God into the family of God, April 27th, 1988. I had two birth dates.
Right.
And this verse 13 really speaks to that effect. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. My mom, my dad, they wanted a child. They had me, and that was the only child. They said, no more. Nor the will of man. You know, people can decide how many children they want. They might say, hey, we got a farm. We need workers. We want a dozen kids or more. Or they might have been like my mom and dad, which were poor, and they only got one child because they couldn't afford no more, and we all about starved to death, but we survived. But, you know, it says, nor the flesh, nor the will of man. So, my mom, my dad, they made a decision on to have one child. But God says anybody that wants to can be born again. He's got a big house. He wants a big family. He welcomes all to come. He bids all to come. He's long-suffering to all. He loves all. He longs for all to get saved.
Amen.
This verse 13 talks about this spiritual birth. Verse 14, now this right here is the incarnation of Christ, and it's a real deep verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when you take verse 14 and you put it right up there along with verse number 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I've got so much right in my Bible, I can't even read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. And then you go down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can see what this is talking about. It's talking about Jesus Christ.
Right.
The Word is Jesus. There's no missing. And a lot of people, if they do miss it, it's because they want to miss it. But that's pretty clear right there. Now we go back again to John the Baptist, which we just read about him here in verse number 6 and verse number 7 and verse number 8. Now we're back again to John the Baptist in verse 15. And John, talking about John the Baptist, bare witness of him, talking about Jesus Christ, and cried, saying this about Jesus, "This was he of whom I spake." John's been preaching about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus shows up. He said, "This is him right here. Hey, I'm declaring this him." He said, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Does anybody know how much older? And I know, I gotta metaphorically speak this here. Does anybody know who was born first physically? It's still hard to pull this to you. Does anybody know who was born first concerning John the Baptist and Jesus? I know Jesus existed before John the Baptist. That's why I said I'm trying to say off the metaphors here. But who was born first, John the Baptist or Jesus?
John the Baptist.
How much more was he born earlier than Jesus? Anybody know that? 6 months.
I was going to say.
Yeah, 6 months, yeah. So John is 6 months older than Jesus, and yet John said, "He's before me."
Yeah.
And I just wanted to throw that so you could get that. He's saying because he was before me. And he's telling the great truth right here, even though really, truly, in the physical realm, he's before Jesus, he's older than Jesus. Spiritually, he realizes Jesus was before him and all, because without him was not anything made, it was made. So he tells a great truth right here in verse 15. I know that's a curveball, but I want to make sure I got that point across about verse 15.
Yeah.
"And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." See, John here is making a statement that he's received this message of Jesus Christ coming into this world to save sinners. And he said, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." Now here, verse 17, the law pointed to grace. The law was given by Moses, and the law is good. The law shows you need to get saved. Let me just put it like this, right? Let's just say this is the law, and I've got to measure up to that. Did I come short?
Yeah,
well, the Bible said all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I can't measure up. But Jesus can.
Right.
And so through Jesus, I can measure up. He makes up for the difference. I'm complete in Him. He can back up the air and go even higher than that. And He bestowed that upon me. So through Him, I can measure up now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of simple, but that's pretty much it.
Right.
He allowed me to make the mark. I'm complete in Him. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Let me give you another metaphor on that. How good do you think you got to be to go to heaven?
You can't be good enough.
Well, you got to be as good as Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, if someone could say, "I'm as good as Jesus," and walk up alongside Jesus and be just as righteous as Jesus is, they could be welcome into heaven.
Yeah.
Now that's impossible. So heaven's out of reach without Jesus. But he took one hand, reached to heaven, got the Father, took the other hand, reached to lost humanity, and said, "Be ye reconciled," and made up the difference.
Yeah.
So now I can make it by the bridge of the two hands, one of God, one to lost humanity. That's why the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
He made the way, the new and living way. He made the way into the holies possible. I can boldly go into the throne now. I'm not a high priest. I'm not in the seat of Aaron. I'm not a Levi. But I can go in there now. I have access through him.
Right.
Just trying to tell you that he done a lot more for us than what you realize. John here talking about him, and he said, "And of his fullness have we all received." I'm glad I got that fullness. If you really understand that, that's a blessing. You're not lacking nothing. You get it?
Right.
I mean, some people, they don't really get it. We're not lacking nothing.
No.
We're complete in him. It cost a lot, but he paid it.
Yes, he did.
I shared something with Brother Ed before I got here, and I'm just going to throw it at you real quick. All the debt I could not pay, and someone this week paid a debt that they didn't owe. Christ paid a greater debt than this person did, but I got to pay this other person back. And Christ said, "I do it, it's free. And you ain't got to pay it back."
That's right.
I told Ed, I shared something with him before y'all got here about a man this week. I went and got my wife a new car. She's happy. You know, it's always good to have a wife happy. You ever been there? My wife ain't happy. You know what I mean? You come in and you tell it's not good. I need to talk to you. And you say, "This is going to hurt." Anyway, a man called me. And he knew I was struggling. And I was struggling financially. And I've been praying about it for a long time. I didn't put this on the table. But anyway, a man helped me this week, but I got to pay that man back. But Jesus helped me, and he said, "Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven." I ain't got to pay that back. You get the difference?
Yeah.
I owe Jesus more than this man gave me, but he gave me compensation. He said, "Go pay your debts off." And I did. I'm still paying some of them off, but I've got the means to pay them off. Here's what the deal is. Instead of me taking my $170 a month of Social Security to give it to all these guys I've been paying, now I don't have to pay it. I got to pay him off. It's a long story. But God worked all that. My wife got her newer car. Not a brand new one. 2008 Pacifica Chrysler. She's one happy camper. It was red, Carolyn. And she said, she's so desperate. She said, "I don't care. I'll drive it even if it's red." We got down and it was burgundy. She said, "Thank you, Jesus." She loves it. But anyway. I have to admit, I've been under a tremendous burden. I've been praying about it for a long time. And I thought about that scripture in Psalms 27 verse 13 that said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And I hadn't fainted. I hadn't given up. And I got down and hit this little bump every now and then. It was pretty close to the flat line. But God finally honored all the prayers that I prayed, and a miracle of miracles took place this week. All right, let's get back to the lesson. Good Lord Almighty. I wish that hadn't been on tape. John here said, "And of his fullness." That is so good. You see, Jesus, there was nothing impossible for him.
Right.
There was nothing he couldn't do. He had all power. Now, the devil's got power. He's mighty, but he's not almighty. But Jesus was almighty God. There was nothing he couldn't do. He left footprints on the ocean. He got up from the grave. He rose people up from the dead. He opened blinded eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He healed crippled people. He healed leprosy. He done all sorts of things, cures and healing. He had fullness. John, talking about that, he said, "And of his fullness." Woo! Have we all received, oh my, and grace for grace. I know y'all ain't getting that.
Yes, we are.
Oh, listen, he gave us everything we need.
Amen.
He said, "If you need any more, I'll give you some more."
That's right.
Boy. There's a lump in my throat right now just thinking about grace for grace. But the law was given by Moses. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law, Paul mentioned about the law. He said the law was his schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. In other words, the law showed him, you ain't going to make it, boy.
Yeah.
But grace through Christ said, you're complete. You're good to go. You're the same as in heaven. We're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm a citizen of that country, Caleb. I'm not going to heaven. I'm already in heaven.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I'm already there in Christ Jesus. See, I'm part of the body of Christ. He's already there.
Right.
I'm soon to catch up. Man, it makes me feel good. When I see people, they got no more sense. They put a 15-year-old boy in a 55-gallon barrel and burned him alive. You know why they did? Because they mean it. And that little boy was full of love. Come down and try to talk to these boys. Try to tell them something other than just killing people. And they so full of the devil, they just picked him up, Jerry, and put him in a metal barrel and burned him alive.
Mm-hmm.
Burned him to a crisp. I'm so sick of that. I like a whole lot better when I hear about somebody doing something good.
Yes, Lord.
When I hear about, you know, someone that was saved, that was dying, you know, that they, somebody talked about a man backing over a little child, and he got out and the adrenaline kicked in and he was able to pick that car up and he was able to get that little girl out from underneath that car. I like hearing those. I hate she got run over, but I'm glad she's alive. Mm-hmm. But I like good news. I think there ought to be more good news. That grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God has grace. When the angel declared about the birth of Christ, there in Matthew, he said it on this wise. Peace on earth, but there's never going to be no peace because we just bent. Now listen to what else he said, Sharon. Good will toward man. God's will towards us is good.
Yes,
he don't have no bad thoughts about me. I know in the Bible, no. God says in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, that God's angry with the wicked every day. I understand that. But he don't send a bolt of lightning.
No.
He should have done that with me, but he didn't.
Right.
I've done things I wished I'd never done, but you know what? He reached out to me in love and said, son, it don't have to be that way. I've got a better plan for you.
Amen.
Jerry, I finally accepted that plan. And I was so ashamed of what I was before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so glad that God didn't send that bolt of lightning. But the law shows us we ain't going to make it. But grace and truth tells us we can through Christ. It makes heaven accessible. It makes heaven available through Christ. All can go through Christ. All can be forgiven. I like to preach a message sometime on all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, but all are loved. And all are invited. All can be forgiven. That all says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he says no man has seen God at any time. See, that's the problem. Man's got to see. Faith is not involved in sight.
No, that's right.
The Bible talking about faith, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and by it the elders obtain a good report. But faith is believing without seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, faith is you say, okay, I believe it, I'm going to go, and one day I'm going to see it. I preached last Sunday about Abraham seeking to see that he had a foundation, his builder and maker was God. By faith, he pursued that journey. By faith, he finished that journey. By faith, he arrived at that city that we preached about last Sunday. But most people, I don't care. They're kind of like Thomas. Unless I see with my own eyes, I ain't going to believe.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Everybody, well, what proof have you got?
Yeah.
How do I know? I
said, well, what proof do you need? And nobody can supply that need because they still wouldn't believe. In Luke 16, here's a man, and the Bible doesn't name him, but it could. It could. It said a certain rich man. God could have named him. If he had named him, then some mother's heart would be broken because she knew her son was in hell.
Right.
Said he fared sumptuously every day. Talked about a beggar named Lazarus. Talking about him having sores, and the dogs licked the sores, and the beggar eating the crumbs that fell from a rich man's table. Then he talked about that beggar died. You know what it said, Carolyn? Carried by angels. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get that here in a minute.
Yeah.
He was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. Said the rich man also died, was buried. And it said he opened up his eyes in hell, being in torments. He cried out. Hell caused a lot of people to cry out. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. He may dip his finger in water, cool my tongue. I'm tormented in his flesh. He thought he had to stay in hell. And Abraham said these immortal words. Son, remember. That's one thing people are going to realize in hell. They're going to remember some things.
Yeah.
They're going to remember all these they throw down. You take that and shovel with the sun, don't shine. I'm not doing the rest of that. They're going to remember all that.
Yeah, that's right.
And I ain't preaching here, but I'm getting to a point here. Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, Lazarus evil, but now he's tormented. Now he's comforted, now tormented. Listen to what this rich man said. I pray thee, therefore, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brethren, lest they come to this dreadful place. Abraham said, son, they have Moses and the prophets. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said, if they won't repent with Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent, though one rose from the dead. You see, the dilemma is, they want to see something, and even when they see something, they want to accept it.
Right.
See how precious faith is?
Right.
It's so precious.
Yes, it is.
To have faith to believe,
yeah.
To have faith to receive, to have faith to keep going. And some people, even if somebody came back from the dead, they wouldn't believe. It's sad. We're going to stop right there. It's pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Well, 11 o'clock, give everybody a chance to go to the bathroom or anything you need to do there. But that's a good lesson. We'll pick back up on that next.